The same God who got you through this problem can get you through that problem.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about the Lord's unending faithfulness.
The reason you'll be able to look forward to the future is that the God of the past is still alive.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. When it comes to gratitude, people tend to be forgetful. As the saying goes, what have you done for me lately? Today, Dr. Evans will jog our memories as he explains what God's goodness in our past has to do with our confidence for the future. Let's join him.
Joshua told the people of Israel in chapter 3, verse 5, then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. He told them, get ready. God is getting ready to do something abnormal in your midst. He's getting ready to show off. He's getting ready to demonstrate to you something the likes of which is beyond your wildest dreams. So get ready. What he was referring to was God was going to part the waters of the Jordan River. And so Israel, as you'll see in a moment, would walk through the Jordan on dry land. Talk about a breakthrough. That's a literal one. And they were to commemorate this occasion with what is called stones of remembrance. They were to not let this occasion ever go down in history to be forgotten. Why did God tell them to have stones of remembrance? Why did he tell them in chapter 4, when you finish crossing the Jordan, verse 3, take for yourselves 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan where the priests are standing. Why did he want them to memorialize this occasion? Well, God had told them earlier, be careful not to forget the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12, God says, be careful not to forget the Lord your God. Some of us have had breakthroughs in our past and we have forgotten. Some of us are looking for future breakthroughs, but we've forgotten past breakthroughs. We've forgotten the Lord our God. In fact, he tells them the reason that you ought not to forget the Lord your God is that when you forget the Lord your God, it will be because you have gravitated to other gods. The beauty of God is that he's faithful even when he keeps us in the wilderness. Because even when he hasn't come through with that mega blessing, we'll call that Canaan land, what he has done is given you and sustained you until it's time for the blessing, and you know he's done it because you're here. Joshua says in chapter 3, verse 9, and Joshua said to the sons of Israel, come now and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua says, by this you shall know the living God is among you and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites. He goes on and he tells them that you're going to know when God opens up your Jordan that there is no God but your God. When you get your breakthrough, it will be clear that that could have only come from God, because it would have been something that only God could do the way it was done. They were about to behold the powerful breakthrough of God. It's described in verses 12 through 17. We won't read it all, but he says, I want verse 13, the priest to carry the ark of the Lord into the Jordan River. Now, the ark of the Lord was a big chest where God's presence resided. So they were going to follow God's presence into the Jordan River. It says in verse 14, it came about, the people set out their tents to cross the Jordan with the priest in front. And when those who carried the ark, verse 15, came into the Jordan, the feet of the priest carrying the ark was dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflowed its banks all the days of the harvest. Now, I like this. That means it was flood season. And the waters, verse 16, which were flowing down from above, which rose up in one heap a great distance away. And verse 17 says it all. And the priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Now, when I get to heaven, I want a video of this one. I'm going to say, Gabriel, plop that one in. This one I got to see. This one in the Red Sea. He tells them to record this thing, to make a record by stones of remembrance. So Joshua, verse 4 of chapter 4, calls 12 men who he had appointed of the sons of Israel. And he says, cross again into the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israel's. Make a record of this thing. Notice what he says in verse 10. He says, by this you will know in chapter 3, verse 10, the living God is among you, and he will assuredly dispossess you from your enemies. The purpose of a memorial in the Bible is not merely to remember yesterday. It is to be reminded that yesterday's God is good for tomorrow. He says that you might know that your God, watch this, is the living God. And that he will. Watch this now. The purpose of a stone of remembrance is to not only know what God has done, but it's to know what God has done so that you have a down payment on what he will do. The reason you'll be able to look forward to the future is that the God of the past is still alive. And the God of the past, who is still alive, is to remind you through your stones of remembrances. Whether it's a diary that you keep, a journal that you keep, a marker that you place. So what do these stones do? Chapter 4, verse 1. It came about when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Let me say that again. When all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. When all the nation. God didn't just open up the Jordan for an individual. He opened it up for everybody. God doesn't have favorites. If you're part of the family, if you're part of the covenant community, everybody didn't get the same thing in Canaan. Everybody got something. Because everybody crossed. God will keep the Jordan open for everybody. You're part of this thing. We need each other. It's for the whole group. They were blessed collectively, everybody, as well as individually. Everybody got their own piece of land. In fact, in a few chapters, Caleb comes and says, give me this mountain. I want my own piece of the real estate, but he can only get his own piece because everybody had crossed. God's not just showing up for me or showing up for you. He's showing up for us. That's why I'm not only praying for your blessing, I'm praying for us. So that we all cross over and get to see the hand of the Lord. It also shows the power of faith. Imagine looking downstream and seeing this wall of water sitting up there. And you're raising the question. First, the preacher is raising the question because they're the priest out front. The priest are told, you step in first. So the question is, does the preacher believe it? That's the first thing. Because I'm telling you now, if the leader doesn't believe it, don't follow it. Because everybody's drowning. So he's supposed to step in first. When he stepped in, they saw something and the waters began to part. Now they had to take a risk. It's called the risk of faith, because remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the only way you know you have faith is where you step in. You don't know you have faith because you have good faith conversation. Where your feet are, is your feet touching the bank of this water? That's faith. Faith is your walk, not your talk. Faith is acting like God is telling the truth. Even though it didn't happen until they took their first step. And then God moved when they took their first step. Not only that, but watch this now. After the waters part, and after everybody's gone through, Joshua tells 12 men, you go back in the Jordan and get 12 stones. They didn't get 12 stones coming through. After they went through, they had to backtrack and go get 12 stones. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to think about that. Wait a minute. You want me to go back there and pick up stones of remembrance after we've come through? Joshua says, yes, and I'm going back with you. In fact, when Joshua went back, he built his own memorial in the middle of the Jordan. He told them to pick up 12 stones out of the Jordan, and you come through. It tells you that when you act in faith, you can look to see God work. Now, let me correct something here. It's one of the most misunderstood things. We've all sung songs about crossing the chilly Jordan River. All right? What people mean by that, crossing the Jordan, they mean dying, going to heaven. All right? Nothing could be further from the truth. Now, I understand the analogy, and that's okay for an analogy, but that's not what it means to cross the Jordan. God says, when you cross the Jordan, you're going to run into the Canaanites. There are no Canaanites in heaven. When you cross the Jordan, you're going to run into the Hittites. There are no Hittites in heaven. In other words, there are no enemies in heaven. There is no conflict in heaven. There are no warfares that you have to fight. When they crossed the Jordan, they had to go to Ai, they had to go to Jericho, they had to go to Gilgal. In other words, there were new battles to be won when they crossed the chilly Jordan. Crossing the Jordan has nothing to do with going to heaven. Crossing the Jordan means inheriting the promises God has for you. When you get your breakthrough, it's not over. Your problems aren't all going to disappear. Just because God gives you that new husband doesn't mean there's not going to be some fusses and fights, some personality conflicts. To cross the Jordan does not mean all the enemies are gone. Crossing the Jordan means that the same God who got you through that mess can get you through this mess. The same God who got you through this problem can get you through that problem. He tells them in verse 6. Let this be a sign to you. So when your children ask later, what do these stones mean? Then you'll tell them. Because the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant. What he says is somebody ought to be asking some questions. Because stones of remembrances are always visible. You put them in a visible place so that people ask questions. Somebody ought to be asking, what's that for? What's that mean? Why do you have that there? So that when your kids raise the question, what do these stones mean? You can tell them the story of how you got over. Why are you going to tell them the story of how you got over so that they can look to the same God you found to be true?
Dr. Evans will talk about what the answers to those questions can teach us when he continues our message in just a moment. First, though, now that summer is starting to wind down, we could really use your support as we head into the last part of the year. If you can help us out with a gift of any size, we'd like to say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Evans' current series, Messages of Hope. These six lessons are packed with powerful reminders of how much God wants to bless you, how far He'll go to rescue you, even when you fail, and how to find your way back when He seems far away. It's powerful material that'll help you make it through the hard times. That's why we're making it available for a limited time as our gift in appreciation for your contribution of any amount, large or small, toward Tony's ministry. Be sure to request yours before this offer runs out. Just check with us online at tonyevans.org for the details, or get some in-person help from our Resource Center by calling 1-800-800-3222, day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that information for you again later on, after part two of today's message and this.
The thing about serving an infinite God is that no matter how much you know about Him, there's always more to learn. So, whether you're brand new to Scripture or an experienced ministry professional, there's something for you at the Tony Evans Training Center. You'll find online courses covering core concepts of the faith. Working at your own pace and schedule, you'll dig deep into the historical context of the book, uncover the key teachings, and learn how to apply them in real-world situations. There's lots of exclusive content from Dr. Evans to keep you interested and motivated, and an online forum where you can ask questions, get answers, and collaborate with other students. The more you learn, the more you'll want to learn. Give it a try. The Tony Evans Training Center, a world of discovery, anytime, anywhere.
Now, let me show you something. The worst book in the Bible related to God's people is the book of Judges. The book of Judges is a grand mess. There was no king in those days, and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And God has to keep raising up these judges to bring Israel back to Himself, and some of the judges were shaky. How come the book of Judges is such a mess? Chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 10. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. Verse 10. And all that generation also were gathered to their fathers. The generation that's crossing the Jordan that we're reading about in Joshua. But now look at the rest of the verse. And there arose another generation, their children. After them, who did not know the Lord. Now watch this. Nor yet the work which God had done for Israel. Anybody following? You got one of the worst books in the Bible, Judges, with all kind of chaos going on. One chapter right after another, and he tells you why. The generation who saw God in Joshua never passed it on. And so they not only did not know God, they did not know what God could do because they never sat down long enough to tell them. They never passed it on. And because the stones of remembrance were never passed on, because there were no heirlooms. You know, we have heirlooms. You pass on rings and you pass on bracelets and you pass on property. He says, make sure you pass on one other thing. Make sure the next generation knows that God has done something for you. We say, what's happened to the next, to our next generation? I'll tell you what's happened. This generation is not passing anything on. Nothing to pass on. He says, pass the baton on. In fact, in Joshua chapter 4, he says it twice. In verse 21, he says, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what are these stones? You will inform them, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. You will tell them what God has done. But not only that, when you get your breakthrough, tell your children. If you have children, tell your friends. If you have friends, tell somebody, this is what God has done, and this is what this stone means. When God does it, you hang it, you put a post out there, and you let it be known. Don't be ashamed. If you can keep a trophy out where folk can see it, that is only good for the past, then you better put something up there to remind you Because that trophy can't help you in the future. Only your God can. But he says it's not only for your children. Look at what else he says. Verse 24. And all the people of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. Tell them at work. Tell them in the neighborhood. You like to brag about everything else? Brag about God. He gives the final reason at the end of verse 24, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. First of all, so that the next generation carries it forward. Secondly of all, so that everybody else knows your God is mighty. And finally, so that you remember your God is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God. Where would we be without 7-Eleven? 7-Eleven convenience stores have come through. When you remember you didn't get something, you run out to 7-Eleven. I'm amazed at how much stuff is in 7-Eleven. They got a little bit of everything. The reason why growing up 7-Eleven was so critical was two. They were always convenient. Every neighborhood had a 7-Eleven. And they were always open 24/7. I know somebody who's open 24/7 and who's convenient to everybody in the room. When the regular stuff in your life shuts down, this shop is always open and it is available to everyone who wants it. The Lord wants you to know if you shop God, that he'll be open. If you're carnal, he's open. If you're messed up, he's open. If you have more than enough, he's still open. If you have a heartache, this store is open. If you got a headache, this store is open. If you got a life ache, this store is open. If you're confused, this store is open. Because he's 24/7 and he's convenient to everybody who wants it. My prayer is that you get your breakthrough and you put up your stone so that God gets the glory and people get to hear what God has done for you.
Maybe your breakthrough is starting a brand new relationship with God. Well, that can happen today. And Dr. Evans will come back in a moment to tell you how. So stay with us. As always, if you'd like a copy of today's message, we'll be glad to tell you more when you ask about the title, Remembering God's Faithfulness. Better yet, check into getting all 6 lessons in our current series, Messages of Hope, an encouraging look at how to hold on when times get tough. As I mentioned earlier, we'll send it to you as our thank you gift for any contribution you make to help support this broadcast. Just be sure to visit TonyEvans.org before time runs out. Or call us day or night at 1-800-800-3222. When it feels like you're out of options and your circumstances are about to swallow you up, there's always a way out, or at least a way through. And tomorrow, Dr. Evans will tell us how to hold on till it comes along and how to recognize it when it does. Right now, though, he's back with this closing thought.
If you've been listening to the broadcast and you have yet to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we can resolve that right now. I'm going to say a little prayer. I want you to pray it after me, but you've got to mean it for yourself. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior because I can't save myself. So right now, I trust you alone because you died for me and arose for me to be my sin bearer. You are now my substitute. And I'm believing you to forgive my sin and to give me eternal life. Thank you for the free gift of salvation that you have given to me. Help me to live a life to please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family, and we'll keep ministering to you for your spiritual growth through our broadcast. God bless you.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.